The memory of wise and of foolish in name will both have remembrance forever the same. Long are they forgotten by future reports, and dying the same as all men of all sorts. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 16, in the Poetic Translation by yours truly from 2020. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes being a book that was written by King Solomon, according to its own testimony. He said he was the son of David, and that he was king in Jerusalem. He says that in the book. Where is that now? Let's find it. See if we can find. Let's find that here. Let's look. Well, we have to go to Ecclesiastes 1, I think, to find that. Chapter 1. The words of the congregator, the son of David, the king in Jerusalem. Right, so that definitely was King Solomon. According to that, in our article for today. Oh, the anchor stones. Yeah, I found some. Oh, my goodness. I found a beautiful video, absolutely fantastic video, that I really feel I'm compelled to show people at some point. Anyway, let's bring it over here. Where are we here in this sequence here? Let's see where we are. We're in the Ra expeditions, aren't we? Is this the Ra expedition here? Yeah, it is. We're about 5 minutes in, I think, but is this Ra? Oh, yeah. But that's, we're at about 5 minutes. We're going to put that there. That's where we ended yesterday. But this video here from the Truth is Christ channel on YouTube is called Ron Wyatt Discoveries 2022, etc. But in this video, there are these pictures of the, and we're going to have to skip back to find it somewhere if we can find it at all. This is the site Noah's Ark, right? It actually shows it right here. It shows some beautiful, beautiful pictures here. I don't know if we can get... I don't know if I can get this. We don't want to maximize it. Let's see. I don't want to be maximized. What I want to be is sort of full-sized window. And then I just want to go back. These are the anchor stones. Look at this. Look at this. I mean, this is... It shows these anchor stones, and look at them. Look how tall they are. You see that one, of which we had a picture already? See how tall it is relative to that man, and then you see these other stones. But if you see, there's a picture somewhere. I think it's here. I think we're going to see it. Where Ron is there, Ron Wyatt himself is standing. That's the anchor stone. Let's go back, and there's a map or a picture showing, here's a man standing beside that anchor stone, and then I want to find the picture with Ron and his family standing near these anchor stones, if I can find it. Oh, there's so many good things in that. We'll have to come back and study this video, I think, because it's got details. I think it's Ron's wife, after Ron passes away, who does some of the commentary for this video. Not certain, but I think so. And there's that picture, too, that we had in our article. We used an artwork, a picture of an art, piece of artwork, a painting by some artist painting Noah's Ark. Now, I wish I could find, they're right in this area. I wish I could find these. Look at that, the rivets, you see, that were analyzed. And these are just, you know, some very few of the discoveries that Ron Wyatt made. He made very many discoveries, not just the Ark of Noah. He didn't discover only Noah's Ark. He discovered a lot of other things that were mentioned in the Bible. So let's see the illustration of the ship with the drogue stone hanging down from it. Let's get the commentary off. That's just there's an anchor stone with a broken end, showing the stone hole, and showing the same corresponding place on the broken piece where the rope hole was. That's a very thick stone, that one. And here's a picture showing how drogue stones can hang down. So they were cut loose, according to this video, from the ark when they started to drag on the ground. That's when they were cut loose. And they would have been a stabilizing influence. So somewhere in here it's going to show it's so good when you see Ron himself standing. And here's a beautiful picture. Oh my goodness. Here they scraped away the earth, showing the ribs of the ark. When they smoothed it out, they could see different colors, showing that the ark had ribs in it. And, you know, the gunwales of the boat, in other words, or the ribs on the side that came up to meet the gunwales. The work that Ron did, one of the things he did was he prayed for there to be an earthquake, and there was an earthquake. And that earthquake revealed these ribs of the ark. They weren't visible before the earthquake. That was something I'd forgotten about. And here's a picture showing where the drogue stones are, right? In the village, which is not near the mountain, but that's where they were cut from the ark. And here they'd scraped away. This is after the earthquake, where they scraped away to show and reveal the different color of materials, which would reveal and did reveal these ribs that were part of the ark structure, right in the side of the boat. The support, the deck support beams, they called them. I suppose that's what they're calling them in this picture. They're not... Well, no, the deck support beams are these other horizontal beams that are just broken off there. That's what those lines are pointing to. And this is the arc as seen from ground level, but they did a lot of measurements, you know, of electrical resistivity measurements, for example, and also they did radar. But the resistivity measurements were so important in establishing the structure. If only we could get...
Representing no...
I want to go...
Some of the stones have eight crosses on them around this site.
I want to go back.
And would need extra...
I want to go back now and see if we can find...
Discovered.
I know there's a... It's not necessarily in the same place here. It might have been earlier where it was showing Ron standing beside the stones. The drogue stones. So that's why I'm not finding it, possibly, is because I'm not looking in the right place. But I know there's a place in this video, because I just saw it today, where Ron is standing there. And they analyzed things. They had the wood. Oh, that's right. When they discovered that piece of wood, too. That was discovered by using a scan. And when they saw the scan, they saw that there's... On the scan, which was done just to demonstrate the equipment, on the day of the ribbon cutting for Noah's Ark National Park, when Ron demonstrated this equipment, they saw there was a piece of something underneath the earth that looked like a solid piece of something, so they dug down, and that's why they found it. That's when they found this piece of laminated wood that I talked about. So that was part of this video. There's a lot of great things in this video. It's so much, it's too much to talk about in one day for some obvious reason, but I mean it's for many reasons impossible to cover it all in one day. They did years of research on this, years and years and years, so it wouldn't be possible to cover it in one day, would it? It's so. And then they found out when they told people about the location, then people went,
one of these stones,
some people, vandals went, or looters went, when they told people about the location of Noah's house, the looters came and they destroyed Noah's house. So it was a tragic thing that happened. And so it wasn't really possible to announce to the world these discoveries, because there were thieves and bad people who came . Oh, that's good. Just got a new beverage that I'm drinking recently. No time to talk about it right today. We've got too many things to cover. So at Hebrews 13 and 8, chapter 2 now, of the Ark of Urartu, Canyon Mountain, with a picture of the Yellow Emperor. Now, Canyon, named after Kangji, is probably probably the same person as Fuxi, who was the emperor who came before the Yellow Emperor. Fuxi was Kainan, right? His son was Shilu Shenong. Wait a minute. No, Fuxi was even before that. Okay, let's get our list again of the Chinese emperors, which is from the old document, which was the rulers of China before somebody modified it to eliminate this. And you know, it's good that it's okay that they modified this and tried to eliminate this information, because I was not very happy with this information even when I had it initially. Even when I initially found it, I didn't think, I certainly had nothing to do with it, and the production of it was completely unrelated to my research. But I was not that impressed with it, because it's, even though it had some things that were exactly or close to exactly right in terms of our timeline, it wasn't, you know, in exact alignment with everything. And the 2737 was only close within like a few years of when we would have thought these events would have happened. It wasn't exactly the exact same year or anything like that. So 2737 will be roughly when the Earth was divided in 2741 in our chronology, I believe, and the confusion happened in 2745 BCE in our chronology. So these are events that happened slightly apart and separated in time, you know, not exactly the same as the year one of this emperor, Fuxi, or rather his successor, I should say, Shenong, who was the Yan Emperor. The Yellow Emperor, okay. There were two emperors after Fuxi. It was the second emperor after Fuxi who was the Yellow Emperor. So Fuxi is Kainan, and then there's Shilu or Shenong. And he was the father of Heber, and Heber was the Yellow Emperor in the chronology of China. But, I mean, the exact years are not so critical, because it's hard to know that they were preserved exactly, but they're still remarkable, and they were apparently preserved very exactly, with that 2737 being so close to where we think it should be. However, what was more impressive to me was that there was a Chinese traveling performance troupe that was, and they still are, I think, traveling around making these big, huge productions of dancing and music, and they produce this history of the world, or history of China, and it's a big production, and they say that the history of China in that production, they advertise it as being 5,000 years old. So that in itself, if you add from today, the year 2000 and something, if you go back to the deluge and 3,200 and something, you're about 5,000 years ago. So the very fact that, in China they believe their history goes back 5,000 years, that is proof that they are aware of the deluge, and the time period of the deluge is correct in our chronology, according to the Chinese tradition. It's phenomenal. That, to me, was more impressive than any of these dates, because these dates are very hard to confirm, I would say. You know, they're hard to confirm except by the work that we've already done, and any work that we might be able to do in the future is still, you know, yet to be determined, but it's difficult to confirm any of it. So if we read this, yeah, we did read this, didn't we? Yeah, that was the last paragraph of chapter 1. So at Hebrews 13 and 8, Paul writes in Jehovah's Word, "Carry on prayer for us, for we trust we have an honest conscience. We wish to conduct ourselves honestly in all things. We wish to conduct ourselves honestly in all things." That's a rather important statement. It would not be honest to say that we evolved, according to the theory of evolution, when the evidence points to the truths of the Bible and Noah's Ark. You see, Noah's Ark is really at odds with evolution, or contrary to evolution, because Noah's Ark means the Bible is right. That means that we were created according to the Bible, not evolved according to science. I mean, there are people who try to have the best of both worlds, but it's really one or the other. The truth is, the only reason people publish theories like evolution is in order to make trouble for true Christians. Or in other words, they themselves don't believe, right? Or they've lost their faith. Some people say Darwin, after the death of his wife, abandoned God and came up with his theory as a rebellious reaction to the death of his wife. Anyway, we are wise not to take it personally, because this is how we may be delivered from trouble. Faith, that is. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 2 and Romans chapter 10. They won't be responding to this, "For they are all cowards, and if they knew how to read, they would know their Bible." That's the thing. If you read the Bible, it's difficult to find any way to fault the Bible or to... But, of course, you need a good translation. That's part of the problem. It helps to get the right translation of the Bible. But the thing is, when I say that they're all cowards, they're really hiding from the Bible, is what they're trying to do, right? So they're not really coming forward, you know, towards the Bible believers, or towards faithful ones who believe in God. The evolutionists are really off to themselves. They go off to themselves. They more or less just abandon Christianity. They just abandon it. They're not likely to seek out debates with Christians, so in that sense they're cowards, and they're not comfortable either with the whole conversation of God. And the whole idea of God, of course, is people say that you can have right or wrong without God, but without God, how do you define what right is? That's the real problem that keeps coming up. And I don't believe there is a way to define an absolute truth without God, or without God, I don't believe it's possible to define right or wrong, because it's arbitrary. Without God, it's not possible to determine. In China, the eastern tip of the Taihang mountain range is called Mount Kangyan, which means green cliff mountain. Interesting, eh? It has to do with green, the color. It is in Hebei province, and Hebei means north of river. There is yet another meaning for Hebei, which is hope. The river is another way of saying the Yellow River in Chinese, as implying the cradle of civilization, that is Chinese civilization, the Yellow River. The Yellow River is the cradle of Chinese civilization. While I studied only a small part of the place names found in the 22 provinces of China, the names of the patriarchs Kainan and Heber are immediately evident at the beginning. Hainan province is also an island province in South China. Hainan, compare that with Kainan, or Kainan and Hainan. I mean, they're almost identical. The name of Kangyan resembles the English word canyon, and as green cliff may be related to the name green. This is significant for this author, who was born a green. Kang Ji, the inventor of ancient Chinese Hanzi characters for writing the Chinese language and the Japanese kanji, has a name like Kainan. And even more like Kajani, the people descended from Kainan, according to Epiphanius. Emperor Shao Hao means little vast. Compare that with Joktan, which means smallness. And we saw that on the table that we have later on here. We see this Joktan Shao Hao correspondence here in table 1 later in this same chapter, actually. So Jin Chan, the other name of Shao Hao, apart from the obvious similarity to Joktan or Yoktan, Jin Chan means precious day, a name presenting no objection to the shortened lifespan of Joktan's day. The Greek Septuagint at Genesis 11, 18 to 19, my notebook, number 26, page 130, forget implications. We say that the Chinese are Hebrews. Quite a stunning statement, simply because they're descended from Heber, it would appear. Therefore, we can call them Hebrews, which is quite astounding, is it not, to think of that? And it enables us to become more familiar with the Chinese people in a much closer relationship, which is, I think, certainly important to have a better relationship, not just with the Chinese people, but with people all around the world, of course. So in the expeditions now of Ra, well, we maximized it yesterday, but I need to do a little bit of work to transition this. Let's do it. Let's play.
Past Easter Island, to show how ancient people might have traveled westward to Polynesia. But in Peru, ancient people not only made rafts of balsa logs, they also constructed huge reed boats capable of carrying tons of cargo. On Lake Titicaca, high in the Andes Mountains, Hayador found Peruvians making reed boats with sails supported by a remarkable double mast, lashed together at the top. Shortly after the year 1500, when the Spanish conquistadors arrived, they found large reed boats with 12-man crews at sea off the coast of Peru. Today, they're only small one-man floats, exactly like those on Easter Island. 1,000 years before Columbus, the South American Indians made pottery models of reed boats which they buried near the coast in the graves of their mummified dead. A man with a bird's head was often depicted together with the reed boats exactly as had been the practice in ancient Egypt, and remarkably, on Easter Island, too. Ancient Peruvian pictures show the bird man intimately associated with the reed boat. The oldest reed boat builders in Peru and Bolivia left behind large numbers of giant statues, as well as temple walls of huge blocks fitted together like those on Easter Island. When Europeans arrived, they found stepped pyramids like those in the islands of Polynesia, and from the summit, the Indians of Peru worshipped the sun. Their pyramid of the sun is the largest still preserved in Peru. It and the Cerro Colorado pyramid on the coast further north are temple pyramids built as in ancient Mesopotamia with millions of sun-dried bricks. Pyramids in Peru and Polynesia, and 1,000 miles to the north on the plains of Mexico, too. And in each place, dedicated to a worship intimately connected with the sun. Even more remarkably, pyramid building began suddenly in both Peru and Mexico, and at the same moment of history. Reed boats in ancient Mexico, too. European explorers found them all along the coast from Peru to San Francisco Bay in California and in various parts of Mexico. The last people to use reed boats in this area are the remote Seris Indians on the coast of the Sonora Desert, where Heyerdahl was able to catch them putting out to sea after turtles. Architecture, reed boats, and religion, similar to those of Peru and the islands, were not only here in Mexico, but also in ancient Egypt. Many experts held that these similarities, like the sun-oriented worship evidenced on the back of these gigantic statues in Mexico, were not due to ancient contact from the Old World. Though on their theory, the different climates and environments should have produced different cultures, the experts were able to insist that the similarities were only coincidental, by pointing out that Mexico's pyramids have no burial chambers as Egypt's have. But in 1949, a secret passageway was discovered leading down into the interior of the Mexican pyramid at Palenque. The experts, including Heyerdahl himself, were amazed. For here, in the dense jungle, where there is a superabundance of timber but little stone, the jungle Indians had constructed a stone pyramid with an inner tunnel according to precisely the same methods employed by the ancient Egyptians.
I think we should stop there for today. I'm not sure what any of the implications are yet, because I'm watching it with you for the first time for me in a long time since I've seen this, since I was a teenager when I watched this, I believe, the first time. But the name Ra is interesting because it also is the name of the Egyptian sun god, but it's also spelled R-E and pronounced Ray, because of course we know that the sun is also a bright object that produces rays, the rays of the sun. So naming it Ray makes sense too. So the word R-A may be pronounced Ray and not Ra also. So we pronounce it Ra as well, though. But anyway, it's fascinating to see the expeditions of Thor Heyerdahl at the time when we're studying Noah's Ark, too. But Noah's Ark is far, far more incredible and unbelievably educational. Where is it now? Okay, here it is. Here it is. This is the other. This is the video. I was trying to show you this. My drink, by the way, is it's a mixture of the standard V8 original V8 drink I'm drinking, but I'm mixing it with a few spices like cayenne pepper and salt and pepper, and some savory. Basically, that's all it is. But it's so nourishing with all the different vegetables. It's not just tomato. It doesn't have a strong tomato taste. And it has so many. I haven't really read the list in great detail, but it has celery. And it tastes very little like tomatoes, really. It has a lot of other flavors. But I really find it to be, right now, it's my favorite thing to drink, apart from the nutrition shakes that I make with milk. And they're absolutely, and I put chocolate, a lot of raw chocolate. When you buy raw chocolate, it's called cacao. Cocoa, in English, is cooked chocolate, not raw. But cacao, when you reverse the vowel order, A-O instead of O-A, cacao is the raw form of chocolate. And so that's one way of telling, but it should say raw. That's another way. If it says raw, R-A-W, raw chocolate powder, that's how you know it's raw also. But raw chocolate powder is so healthy, you can just stir it into your nutrition shakes, and I use that combined with my nutrition shake that I have with all the vegetables that are raw in that, as well as not just the V8, but this raw shake that I have, powder form, and I add to it some wheatgrass powder. All of that is what I'm eating, in addition to the fruit that I'm eating and so on, my salads, my fruit, and my bacon, things like that I'm eating these days. And certainly enjoying eating, and maybe I'm even losing a few pounds, I think. But it is now pretty well time for the end of our study. It's September 15th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 17:17 hours North American Eastern Daylight Time. Thank you for listening and watching. I love you very much. I'm Ward Green, and in my behalf, this is Liv Dusty, and this is Cassie. Saying bye for now. We're just finished chapter 2, paragraph 1 of the Ark of Urartu, the article, and we're looking at this. I want to look at this Ron Wyatt video again in more detail. I mean, show you also. Bye for now.